So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it. All about control, and if you can take it. All about your stand, and if you can play it. It's all about pain, and who's gonna make it. I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can shake me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run, like a crazy thing from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I made the rules. So move on out, you can die like a fool. Try to figure out what my mood's gonna be. Come on over, son, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay. Cause I am the game and I want to play.
We are the game coming out of Louisville, Kentucky. Welcome to us, man. Part of the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com as well. You know, we've got to have a lot. You know, let's go straight to Ed Martin. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm on time for a change. You can't thank her, it's old man.
Well, you really are. You really are. I'm used to Tuesday night having to make excuses for you because it's usually your one of your late nights because of this business you run that Barack Obama built for you. So, you know, it is nice to see you for a change on time. How you doing?
Doing all right. Got the summertime. Like the summertime blues going. Get home before too long. Got to get a little bonfire going. Daughter's going to have some friends over for some s'mores. So.
There you go. And how's Megan and the lovely wife doing, man? I saw some pictures of Megan graduating. Imagine you're a proud papa at this point.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's like, oh, you're excited because she graduated? Well, she graduated with some honors. Yeah, that's good. But, graduation's what's supposed to happen. If we had to go another semester, I would be, pissed off. So, It's a normal progression of things. I'm pleased that we are doing the normal progression. But I'll be honest. I'm probably just as proud that both of my daughters, bucking the national trend, both of them have two jobs, man.
Well, they
figured out that dad, mom work long hours and that stuff. And stuff like college educations are not going to be they're not going to fall entirely on mom and dad. So, yeah, she graduates high school, and I say proud. She didn't give me that garbage that sometimes kids do. I want to take a few weeks off or nothing. It's like no, she graduated high school and it was on, man. She's picking up more hours at the restaurant she works at, and as soon as we got things set up at work. you know, at the shop, she's coming in every day she can that she doesn't work early at the restaurant. So, like,
well,
yeah,
that's good. But I would expect no less from Megan, though. She's a sweetheart and a hard worker. And you guys need to remember that, too, that name, too, Megan Martin. Trust me, she's going to be a force to reckon with in the future. In the meantime, Ed, we have got so many things going on, as usual. We want to get to Walmart tonight,
really?
But I tell you, it's hard to believe.
I thought the government got everything figured out. We could just talk about sports tonight.
Well, you know, that's what they hope we do. Unfortunately, they're not good enough to hide everything. I mean, you know, now they've got all of these secret email accounts where they actually conduct business to try to bypass the Freedom of Information Act. And, of course, the government went today and tried to hold the AP hostage for $1 million. Yeah, you know, there's not much. The government, you know, they think they've got it all figured out, but unfortunately, we don't really go along with that. So, you know, sorry for them, you know, but not so sorry for us. We've got a lot to cover. We always do. You know, I want to get a couple of these local stories out of the way because there was one today that I got a hold of, and it was – I put a story up on the website earlier at LouisvillePolitics.com. But you remember David Whitlock, everybody's favorite felon constable, right?
Oh, yeah. The worst shot in the sheriff's department or whatever he was.
Well, that's exactly true. The guy shoots an unarmed woman driving away in her car at a Walmart parking lot. So they finally decided he wasn't going to be a constable. Supposedly gave up his right to be in law enforcement and everything else. Not supposed to carry a gun. All these other things, as yet one more diversion program was given to him. I think that's three or four now for all of his felonious behavior. Well, long story short, man, his good buddy Michael Stevens and those other clowns he runs with who are co-conspirators and co-criminals, Michael Stevens, Brent Choate, Terry Gaddis, Corey Whitaker, you name it, they're there. You know, well, apparently Mike Stevens is the front man for David Whitlock's new venture, and I say the front man for David Whitlock's new venture intentionally because Mike Stevens doesn't have any money, doesn't do anything without David Whitlock picking up the tab and pursuing it. Well, now there's a new security business. Yeah, I know, I'm laughing trying to say that. A security business called Secure Us. They've actually got a website. You can go to secureus.com. You know, trying to tell the whole world that they're a legitimate security company. You know, they also do CCD classes, all this other stuff, or the CCDW classes, concealed carry classes. You know, never mind the fact that Terry Gaddis and David Whitlock's buddies were running a CCDW class at his office on Dixie Highway with loaded guns and shot one off into the office next door where the Jefferson County clerk was at that was full of people trying to renew their license plate numbers. So, you know, I wanted to put that out. Apparently he's back here trying to play again. He's using somebody else as the front. If you guys have any more stories on this idiot, let me know. Secure Us is registered to Michael Stevens. He is the one who's supposedly heading this. There's no doubt in my mind that David Whitlock is illegally carrying a gun and a badge as we speak. You know, so I want to make sure the public is aware that this idiot is still out there. And don't forget, Michael Stevens is the one who decided it would be a great idea to take a shotgun and shoot a shotgun blast at close range against Cody Whitaker in his home, in Michael Stevens' home, supposedly took all the lead out. We've got the video and everything else at the links on the website, so check out LouisvillePolitics.com. It's incredible, Ed. I couldn't believe this guy is back out there. What do you say about something like that? Because I tell you what, I'm almost at a loss.
Yeah, I'm at a loss. You know what? It makes me feel good that I live out on the east side, about as far away from those idiots as possible, and still living in the city. So, you know, but yeah, let's say that we've seen David Whitlock's handiwork. Can't shoot worth a crap. We've seen the other guys. They don't practice gun safety and probably can't shoot worth a crap. So, hey, if you want to take a CC, you know, concealed carry class from them, okay. You know, well, one of the prerequisites for me to take a concealed carry is because, and maybe one of the reasons I haven't done it yet is because I would expect the concealed carry instructor to be better with a gun than I am.
Well, you know, I also want to point out the obvious. Anybody who don't know who's anticipating taking a class in the near future to learn more about your weapon and gun safety and all that stuff, understand one thing. There is no legitimate concealed carry class going on today anywhere that is going to allow you to have live ammunition in your gun in a classroom environment? None.
Nope.
How these guys, people fall for this crap are beyond me, but they don't allow that. And let's be real clear here, too. You're dealing with felons. Terry Gaddis, I'm fairly sure, is the guy who they're putting up to run the CCDW classes or as the front man. Gaddis is nothing more than another joke flunky of David Whitlock's who was given a badge for nothing. Brent Choate, he's a convicted felon. He was given a badge and a gun. And this Cody Whitaker I mentioned a minute ago, here's a kid who was supposedly pulled from the streets by Whitlock and Stevens when he was 15 years old. And they immediately gave him a badge and a gun and had him going out there public impersonating police officers with these guys. Now he's 18 or 19 now, and what do you say? I mean, this is nuts. You give a 15-year-old kid a badge and a gun to let him feel like he's some kind of a cop and you teach him that. Yeah, these guys are great people. You know, and of course, Whitlock's had, what, two or three different felonies now. He's been in diversion two or three different times. I guess Daryl Isaacs, his cousin, you know, everybody knows the lawyer, right? But I guess Daryl Isaacs, his cousin, has a hell of a lot of pull because I cannot understand why this guy is not in jail or who he's there. I know Bob Henderson was covering for him at one time, councilman out here in District 14, former councilman, I should say, was covering for him at one time because Whitlock was taking care of stolen goods, and a lot of people believe Bob Henderson was involved in that. There's a whole lot of things here, but if you see anything with Secure Us, and for you people out there, I know from what I understand, these guys are trying to get a contract with Zappos or Amazon now out there in Ola County. You guys need to stay the hell away from these people. They're going to kill one of your guys. You're going to have a hell of a lot of liability because of these idiots. But, you know, whatever. I just thought that story was needed to be out there. Additionally, we've got a West Butuel councilman, is facing a criminal charge of animal cruelty involving a weapon as well. He shot a dog in the head in April. He doesn't deny it or anything else. Apparently, one of his neighbors lives next door to him, said her dog was sick. The UK Diagnostic Lab confirmed that it had an inflammation in a leg and lung. That's not life-threatening in any way, shape, or form. But the neighbor asked him to shoot her dog because it was sick, so he did it. Right here in Louisville, West Butuel. Now West Butuel is looking about what they can do to maybe remove this guy as a councilman. Should he be removed as a councilman? I don't know. How about you?
Well, I don't know, you know, because, you do get into the quality of life issues.
Sure.
And you do get into animal suffering. And, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, sometimes you also get into the fact that people can't afford to drop $50, $100 to have, you know, to run the animal to a vet and have it put down slowly. I'm going to sound terrible saying this, but sometimes a bullet done right is pretty humane.
Well, you know, the problem for me is this. We have all kinds of avenues available for humane treatment of animals. You know, if this dog had just broken a leg or got in some kind of an accident, clearly obvious he was in pain or suffering, there's no chance in hell, and it takes a bullet to put him out of his misery immediately, I'm all for doing something to keep people or animals from suffering. However, you're talking about an inflammation in a leg and lung. You know, I've got a dog who's 3 years old who has a bad leg. We adopted her as a puppy. She came to us with a bad leg. I have to take her to the vet from time to time because that leg does get inflamed and gets irritated. You know, I've got another dog who had a lung problem as a baby pup and things like that, kind of outgrew it. But, you know, I mean, we look at these things. You know, really, you can drop a dog off in a night drop at a Kentucky Humane Society. You can drop a dog off at a night drop at Louisville Metro Animal Services. I mean, there are all kinds of different options available, you know, so the dog can either get help and get adopted, or if it needs to be put down and put out of its misery, they're gonna use euthanasia in a humane way. But I think just because of
I've seen a cop do it before. Dog gets hit, dog's screaming bloody murder on the side of the road, and I've seen a cop bust a cap in the dog. But
well, you see,
you know, that you see it happen, and you think, thank God.
Right. Right. And that makes sense to me. And that makes sense to me. It really does. But when you get here, you know, if my next door neighbor came up to me and said, hey, will you put a bullet in my dog's head because they're sick? Well, I'm not a veterinarian. I can't make a judgment on anything on that dog. And you know, if the dog was clearly in pain or something because he just got hit by a car, like your cop example, I may do that. It would haunt me, but I may do that. But I don't see this being a right thing. I see this as another form of animal abuse, and I think this guy made a bad decision.
It's inflammation. It's inflammation. You can go get an NSAID, which is basically aspirin, a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. You can buy a bottle of them at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a prescription. And they're for dogs. I mean, they're, inflammation. Like, I've got a 12-year-old German Shepherd. He's my boy, you know.
Right.
He has some issues. But I'm not going to kill him. I'm going to spend a reasonable amount of money on some medications to keep him going.
Right.
It almost sounds like somebody might have been thinking to themselves, hey, you know, I checked out the medication on this dog. It was $80 a month. Can you help me out here? Because the vet won't put him down. You know, can you help me out here? You know, sure. Boom. it's kind of sounds a bit like that, actually.
Well, it sounds to me like somebody made a bad choice. Does it come to the point where this guy should be impeached or let go as a councilman? I don't know. I don't have enough details to make that decision. But I can certainly tell you this, if I've got a councilman who thinks that that's a good choice with so many alternatives available, I would definitely question their decision-making process. And whether he should be removed or not is irrelevant. I can promise you my vote wouldn't go for that guy in the next election, whether he was removed or not. A couple more real quick local stories, Ed. Louisville Metro Council apparently is upset over the mayor's budget and urban services. Our good friend Philip Bailey has a story over at WFPL. .org. You can go there to check it out. But essentially, the Louisville Metro Council members, primarily Democrats especially, are angry with Greg Fisher because of all the urban services cuts that they had to endure a couple of budgets ago. As you remember, Jerry Abrams started cutting back on trash pickup days and everything else. They didn't cut taxes in the urban services district, but they cut services that the people were paying for. Well, Greg Fisher just submitted this new budget. We've got more money, apparently, so they say. And, you know, the chief financial officer, Steve Rowland, was testifying at a budget hearing yesterday. Greg Fisher is basically trying to invest in infrastructure, strategic planning, things like that, putting additional funds towards fixing the city roads, which is a great thing. But the thing they're upset about is, you know, that they can't get things that were in place back that we had before. They're going to spend $6.4 million to upgrade sidewalks and roadways, which we need. But they're questioning why we have to add bike lanes and all the other stuff and spend money on that. And quite frankly, I agree with that. I don't know why we're spending so much money on these bike lanes and this so-called bike loop that such a minority of people use when we have real services in the urban services district that haven't been funded correctly or people are paying for stuff that they're not receiving. The biggest problem I've got with the argument, though, is people like Brent Ackerson. Brent Ackerson, of course, is a Metro Council member. But Brent Ackerson is sitting out there basically trying to make the argument that the county or the outside of the urban services district doesn't really do their part and pay more money. And here's what he said. He said, for those in the non-urban service district, which presumably is me and you, the reality is that you shouldn't get as much because you don't pay as much, but right now you do. So he says that that's proof that we don't have consistency across the board in services and what everybody pays, and that that's what we should be focusing on basically to get more money. What a joke of an argument, because quite frankly, we don't get free garbage pickup out here in the county in the non-urban services district. They pay higher taxes in the urban services district for that. They get different things, but they pay higher taxes there for these so-called free services. These are services that we pay for out of our pocket that they don't have to. So Brent Ackerson is trying to muddy the waters and set the stage for new taxes for the non-urban services district people. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have, you know, we living out here, it's like the first thing I would say to him is fight me because the sewage treatment plant just across the street from me. So, you know, hey, that's a tax of sorts, you know, right. And you got that for a neighbor. But but beyond that, you're right. No, we don't do trash pickup. We're still in the we still have our like you out in VRP and stuff. You have your own fire department, so and you know a lot of it's volunteer, but a lot of it's professional. So you know, we're paying for that. You know,
yeah, I mean
that's it.
We pay
snow,
for all
when
of it.
When it comes to snow, I live on a rural route. We accept that out here. So we plow our own roads. So, you know, you don't even plow roads for me, dude.
Well, and that's exactly it. We had that problem out here. The state roads get plowed, but we pay state taxes for that. The city doesn't come out here and plow the roads out here unless they own the road, and they're getting paid for that. Let's go to the phones, because I know this is our good friend Paul Hollins over at Stop It, Ed, and he's going to have a lot to say about this one. Go ahead, Paul. How are you?
Why would I want to say something about the greatest con job that's ever been done in Jefferson County? Why would I have anything to say about that massive deception that was called merger?
I guess I got a lucky guess in, my friend. What's going on, man?
Well, I have to continually hammer one salient point home with what you just stated, and that is, the folks here in Jefferson County believe that merged the city and the county, and it did not. The
right.
City of Louisville that existed before merger is the same city of Louisville that exists today. You can look in Kentucky Revised Statutes, and you will only see the first-class city of Louisville listed, not Metro Louisville. So that's
right.
Item number A. Item number B, the city of Louisville is operated as a separate entity for the purposes of federal grants and loans. For example, I'm going to give this is a great example. Councilman James Peden from out in the Highview area, about a year ago, attempted to find an answer as to why money that was allocated expressly for the purpose of demolishing old, dilapidated buildings, why that money was limited to being spent inside what is called the Urban Services District, which let's call it what it is. That's the real city of Louisville, okay?
Right.
And the county attorney's office, to Bill O'Brien, they did a dance. They did just about every kind of dance they could to keep from saying on the air over the government channel that the reason they can't do it is because Washington's money is for the city of Louisville, not for the county of Jefferson. And Peden's district is primarily in the county of Jefferson. So
right, and that's the whole point. And that's the whole point. And you know, one of the things is the county residents out here, and I even argue with the county residents out here quite a bit too, Paul, because the simple stuff that they can relate to, you know, well, they get free garbage pickup in the city of Louisville. Well, they don't get free garbage picked up because of that separation between the Urban Services District and the real city of Louisville versus the county, who is still left alone. You know, they pay higher tax rates for garbage and things like that there than we do, and that's why we pay for our own garbage pickup, which is actually the way that I would prefer it anyway. But it's fascinating that so many council members, you know, and the Greg Fisher administration continue to talk about equalizing the so-called fees that residents pay to the city, you know, and they want everybody to pay that regardless of your neighborhood. Now, back in 2006, as a mayoral candidate, and I hate to keep bringing this up, but, you know, we were on stage at a debate, a televised debate. You guys can look this up. It's still online. Televised debate between me, Kelly Downer, and Jerry Abramson. And I pointed out the obvious there to Jerry Abramson, that the only reason the city of Louisville wanted merger wasn't because of the county was going to get any extra help. It wasn't going to get this landmass and give them more money. The only thing it was going to do was give them the right to rape the county tax money. The city of Louisville was running in the red and had been for quite a few years up to merger. The Jefferson County itself, with the county judge executive and everything else, had been running in the black and running a surplus of taxes. The city wanted that money. So what they did is they created this pseudo merger, which is not a merger at all, so that they could control all the money and funnel it into downtown Louisville. I mean, that's exactly the point of it, and Jerry Abramson couldn't even deny that. And I thought that was very telling at that time, and I don't think we've learned anything from that since. Do you?
The very fact that Brent Ackerson and those of his ilk are bringing this topic up is because they cannot add, they simply can't come out and say, hey, by the way, people of Jefferson County, we really deceived you. We pulled a fast one. They can't say that. So
right.
They're using these services issues, trying to get the people out in the county to unwittingly say, well, we want those same services, and yeah, we're willing to pay the taxes. And as soon as that happens, then suddenly real merger of the city and the county will take place.
Well, and ultimately what will happen
is... This was the biggest lie ever perpetuated upon Jefferson County, Kentucky, in its entire history. This is the biggest lie.
Well, I agree with you, and that's what makes it so puzzling to me that people are starting to listen to these idiots like Brent Ackerson, and Brent Ackerson has problems of his own, folks. I haven't even outed him yet in our multi-part series on the Democrats. Now, Brent Ackerson is tied into Jeff Noble and all those other pedophile gay clubs that they're in. He's tied into every one of them. We'll get to him later on in the very near future now that my other case is over. But when we look at this, though, I mean, he's not alone. A lot of the Democrat council members try to continually say that citizens who live in the old city limits are still paying more than the people who live in county for services that they aren't getting. And that's not true. We do not in the county get any services that the city gets that we don't pay for out of our pocket, because if they pay taxes for their services, we have to pay for stuff like our own trash pickup and things like that. So, and the lie is starting to build, Paul, and people are starting to believe it, and that's probably the scariest thing of all, isn't it?
Well, you want to pick on the Democrats knock yourself
out
on that.
No, no, no,
that,
no. I'm not trying to make the Democrats. I'm just pointing out to Brent Ackerson in this case. Go ahead.
Just remember, there are 11 Republicans on the Metro Council. Every single one of them, including James Peden, knows what the deal is. That's the reason he engaged in very vigorous and intense discussions and questioning of Bill O'Brien in the meeting that dealt with where they were going to spend the money to tear down dilapidated housing. Peden knew exactly what the reason was, but not even Peden went on record as saying, oh, by the way, we still have the city of Louisville, and that's the reason this money can't be spent in the county, you know?
Well, so, I agree with you. I agree with you. The Republicans, as we know, though, Paul, and we'll agree on this all day long, don't have the balls to actually lead or put themselves out on a limb and take a stand. We know this. I agree with you on that. But, you know, it is really interesting, though, because the 11 Republicans can't do a damn thing anyway. The Democrats have control of everything. They always have, and that's where the problem is today. We don't have a second party. We have a driving party that wants to tell us what to do and dictate, and a second party, the elected leaders, want to sit back and let it happen just so they can enjoy the perks that they get with the job. I won't argue with you on that. Not at all. You know, but it is interesting, because we've got to start getting into these conversations about what's really going on here with this non-emerged government. And it's fascinating as well that, you know, there are a lot of state lawmakers who had to pass KRS, and I believe it's 67, isn't it? The merger law?
I think it is. Yeah, I think
okay,
it is.
Okay, I believe it's 67. If you read KRS 67C, I believe it has everything there is to do with merger. But, you know, when you look at this, these state lawmakers know these problems are there, and they have begun to start, for lack of a better word, acquiescing and ignoring the reality of what the people in the county are going through. Even this regional wastewater plant we discussed a little bit last night with MSD. You know, this regional wastewater plant is just another way for MSD to get more money, which is going to benefit Louisville MSD pockets, but not necessarily benefit the people that are part of that plant. We've had people like Dan Syme and other people who were on board us saying, no, this can't happen, that have now backed off and said, well, maybe it's not such a bad thing. Because they, for whatever reason, they've decided it wasn't worth pursuing. So who do they represent? You know? It's a mind-boggler to me, man. It's a mind-boggler. We're at the bottom of the hour, folks. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. When we get back, we do want to get into a little quick story yet about the good old arena right here in Louisville. And we're going to get into this Walmart just a little bit. We discussed last night. Listen to the Ed Spencer Show right here on the MGM Radio Network. Stay tuned, folks. We got a lot left for you.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
On the daggone TV news, she sits there and tells us all this stuff's going on. We're supposed to smile and say, oh, well, it'll be okay, and move on about our business and ignore it. It's that whole bait and switch. While she's telling us people are dying, we're sitting there saying, man, I wonder if she's got big boobs. You know, it's stupid stuff, and we the American people fall for that crap. But we are back, Ed Martin. I tell you, you know, Ed, this whole merger thing, it's been a point of contention for me since they brought it in. I'm not sure that I don't think that it's ever going to be taken away, although there are many people who have merged governments that have later voted to eliminate the merger. I don't think the people of Louisville are smart enough to do that. No offense, Louisville, but it's just the way it is. You know, what about you? Do you think we're really ever going to get anything worked out with this?
No, I don't think we will. I don't think we will. You know, because in a lot of ways, I think it's more the fault of the people that are out in the old county, the old county commissioner. You know, the districts that used to be done that way. Because I'll admit it, I'm there. We're fairly content. I mean, we don't. You know, we might be getting ripped off a little bit, just like water bills. But you know, things are good out here. We don't have. You know, the crime's not as bad. The crime, you know, out by you, it's just. Sometimes I look at the city and say, thank God, you know, it's not us. It's, well, you know, when you see everything from urban blight and things, in a way, I think it's they take advantage of it and it just kind of sets in because the people who could be more pissed off about it, the people who are, you know, probably getting more of the bill than they were under the old county commissioner setup, they're kind of okay. They're living life. They're enjoying life. And in many cases, they're probably working two jobs or, you know, like my daughters, each one of them two jobs. And, you know, aside from a radio show twice a week, don't really have time to rant and rave about it. It's just...
I think it's got a lot to do with it, too. And I mean, you know, you pointed out earlier about the firefighters and everything else. I mean, our firefighters volunteer for the most part. We do have some paid people in the volunteer fire department out here. But you know, I mean, we pay our property taxes, pay for that service. So we don't have to worry about the city of Louisville coming in and telling us anything. We pay for our firefighters. We pay for all these different things. You know, and that to me is the big difference. We don't mind paying for our stuff. But unfortunately, what really happens here, and this is where the city of Louisville has already tried it once or twice, and they're going to continue trying. They're trying to get every dime squeezed out of county they can. And they went after the firefighters and things here just a couple of years ago, trying to force the volunteer departments to give up and give it to the city. Now, what happens at that point is the city starts eliminating firehouses, combining all of this crap, saying they need it to save money. And we've been able to do this for all these years without having to do any of that stuff. You know, but they want to come in and take the money so that they can rape the coffers. So, and that's why I think the county is content. But unfortunately, this whole argument of, you know, these council members continue putting out there and this liberal media continues presenting is that, you know, the city is paying more than their fair share to subsidize the county, which is a big lie. So we've got to really start paying attention to that.
I think there's a lot of little, you know, because my daughters, they like to go down to the Highlands, which is in the old city limits. And I think people miss a lot of things, too. I can't go downtown without getting a little aggravated, looking around, saying, who are all these people? Who the hell do they think they are parking on my streets? Because you think about that. People don't stop and think. It's like, wait a minute, these are public streets, but just because you live on the street, you know, you decide to turn a two-and-a-half-lane road into a one-lane road because you don't want to mess your yard up. You're going to park on my street. You know, I think people also need to look at it, and they say, well, when it comes to city-sponsored activities, you know, taxpayer-funded activities.
Well, remember, though.
Infrastructure things. Where does it happen?
Does it? Well, that's true. That's very true, because they want to spend all their money downtown.
They're not setting off fireworks. They're not the city's any government funded fireworks. Blowing them off in PRP or Eastwood. If they're gonna do some big beautification or build some kind of boat docks or some big fancy walkway, they're not doing it in the other parts of the county. They do spend a lot and they entertain a lot downtown. And it's people kind of need to look at that every once in a while. I honestly don't want them to have music festivals out across the creek from me.
We have to look at some realities, though. And a lot of these streets that you're talking about downtown, you know, and Highlands and all these other things that are, you know, you don't see driveways or anything else there. That's because zoning doesn't allow them to have driveways and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so they have to park on the street. You're not allowed to park in the yard. According to zoning regs. And, by the way, you're not allowed to have a driveway. So you have no choice but to park on a city street because that's all the city allows you to do. So, you know, a lot of that is bait and switch. But when your daughters go down to the Highlands, and I'll be honest with you, I love the Highlands. I go down to the Baxter Avenue corridor, Barrett Avenue, those kind of things, Old Barstown Road. I go to I love Impezzarelli's down there. They've got some fantastic pizza. I hit a couple of coffee shops down there when I'm out that way. I'm a Heine Brothers fan. I love supporting local coffee. So there's all kinds of things that I do down in the Highlands area. But I'm spending my money there.
Yeah.
You know, so my money is being spent there, so I'm ultimately paying for city taxes there as well because that business owner has to pay taxes, right? So, you know, there's no need for me to spend more. If I'm using those services, I'm spending money there to help support those services, then I shouldn't have to pay extra taxes out here off of Dixie Highway because they're not taking care of what they're given. You know, and that's the problem with the city mindset. And here's another great example of that. You know, you remember the old arena debate. Everybody's screaming, we got to have the arena. What did we tell them years ago? That the arena was not sustainable where it was at, that it was going to be an albatross across the neck of the city of Louisville. The city of Louisville swore up and down they would have this thing filled. Well, now the Louisville Arena Authority just released its financial statements for 2012. And check out the Courier-Journal, Marcus Green. He put the article out late yesterday on it. The Louisville Arena Authority just released financial statements for 2012. That includes the first 6 months, you know, half a year now. Remember, the city of Louisville took the Kentucky Fair Board away from running the arena, and they turned it over to a private firm called AEG. So AEG had the arena for 6 months, the last 6 months of the fiscal year. And lo and behold, don't know what to tell you, folks, but the event revenue dropped by more than $4 million. Now, this arena, as we were promised, was going to be full. And when AEG came in, we were told they were going to keep this thing full, do a better job than the State Fair Board did, blah, 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 blah. And they lost $4 million just on event revenue. You know, what does that say, Ed?
Well, it I think it says the initial enthusiasm that the arena did come with has fallen off a little bit. Now, I would have to ask, I don't know if that arena revenue counts, that year before last, of course, the NCAA, part of the NCAA basketball tournament was here. Now, I don't know if that impacted it or not, you know, more games, out-of-towners, but yeah, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But beyond that, we've always said it's going to be a money loser. David Jones and John Schnatter tried to tell everybody where to put it and build it cheaper and whatnot. Nobody's listened, so we're stuck with it.
Well, you bet. Back in 2006, again, this has been going on for a long time. That was one of the biggest points of contention during the whole mayor race. We were still debating the arena and where it should go. And I compared the Lieb report and the Bonham Group report. One was done by Schnatter and Jones. The other one was done by the city of Louisville. And, you know, Schnatter and Jones didn't want the arena. I think they are two of the biggest business leaders we have coming out of Louisville. For God's sake, how are you going to get much bigger than David Jones with Humana and Papa John Schnatter with Papa John's Pizza coming out right out here out of Louisville? And you put these guys together, they know just a thing or two about business. So when they contracted and paid out of their own pocket for this alternative report, I sat and I compared both reports, and it was clearly obvious that there was no way to sustain the debt with the current KSC Yum Center under the plan that Kentucky and the city had. And I think we've proven that. You've got the Arena Authority that came through, and Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher now, used to be Jerry Abramson, Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear, and the Arena Authority all have to work. They're the ones responsible for paying out $349 million in construction bonds, which would have been half that if we'd used the David Jones and John Schnatter approach. However, what's really fascinating is that, you know, we continue to tell everybody before we ever went down this road that it was going to cost the city more and more money each year, and we now have proof of that. Because what happened is last year the city had to contribute $6.5 million to help pay off this bond. This year they were forced to contribute $9.8 million. You're talking about a $3.3 million increase. Now, when you talk about Mary Woolridge and the other people complaining about why we can't get the urban services back, we just spent $3.3 million more on debt for the arena than we should have had to spend, and we're also putting in new bike paths that we shouldn't have to put in. So it's clearly obvious what's going on with the money. Why are we the only ones to see it?
I don't think we are the only ones who see it, but I think it helps that we have, you know, oftentimes we refer to it, we either have a lamestream media or we have a complicit media in the area that for so long wouldn't take on the Abramson machine. And it's still not really, you know, it's still, a lot of it's still the Abramson machine. So, you know, the CJ, especially, really not going to go after it. So, yeah, it's just, once again, it's like so many things. I don't know. Have you been to the arena?
I refuse to go. There's nothing down there I want to see.
I went one time because the people who invited me said there's free food and free beer. And it was the UofL game, so I watched it, you know. But,
right.
The one thing I can tell you is all these rosy, and you remember all the rosy, the special taxing district, which is, you know,
mm-hmm.
the initials are STD, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, the STD is, they said, this is going to generate the income. Well, when I get back to the Schnatter-Jones thing, we wanted to use the water company property. It's like, dude, nobody's spending their money down there. Very few people are actually spending their money. They go to the arena because if you didn't happen to notice right where you stuck it, people leave the arena and get on the interstate because you built it right next to the highway. So they can bug out, get home, and do whatever. Or they can eat, you know, wherever home is or a restaurant out that way. They don't have to. I was reading a little about the reports and stuff, and I look at it and think, gosh, if they'd have built on the water company, you know, it's not right next to the interstate. Maybe their special taxing district actually would have worked because people would have had to walk around or drive around downtown a little bit because it wasn't right next to the getaway ramp. So,
well, see, and that was something else that was fascinating too, though, because the tax increment financing was supposed to pay the largest source of money for these construction bonds. They were supposed to pay for most of it. It actually increased $1.4 million last year, but it's still so far below what they used as an estimated projection for their construction binding that they'll never hit that anyway. They also lost net assets last year, fell by $16.9 million. The year before, their net assets fell by $14.6 million. And they also raided the renovation fund, in addition to getting an extra $3.3 million from Louisville. Yeah, they took another $3 million from the renovation fund. So when the stuff breaks down, they don't have the money to fix it because they've overbonded this damn thing. And it's interesting because one of the arguments that they made, that the city of Louisville made, and I'm glad you brought up the difference in the traffic flow, because the city of Louisville argued that having the KFC Yum Center where it was at was going to increase traffic for businesses when clearly, the old water company site that was in question at that time, that was presented as an alternative by David Jones and John Snyder, showed exactly what you're talking, that the traffic was actually going to flee, not stick around to spend money downtown. At the old Louisville Water Company site, that traffic was going to stay, and they were going to go right to 4th Street Live. This was all by design, intentionally, supposedly, to send people to 4th Street Live and surrounding businesses downtown to spend money. Now they don't get near them. So it's a major flaw with the whole thing. We knew it was going to be that way. We argued it was going to be that way, and nobody cared. And, oh, by the way, you think there's not a problem. You can tell when there's a problem with something of this stature when the luxury suites start falling. Luxury suites seating revenue dropped from $1.7 to $1.4 million last year. So even the rich guys are saying, this ain't worth putting any money in, and they're shying away from it as well. So I think it's clearly obvious in a short amount of time, in my opinion, the arena's only been open a couple of years, that this was a dismal failure. It was wrong. And yet they still want to continue going after the NBA team so we can subsidize it further. That's a joke, isn't it?
Yeah, well, especially, and I always say it's, you look at the way U of L, whether you love or hate their administration, you look at the way they absolutely handed the city, the people running the city, Abramson included, they just handed them their ass on this contract. I mean, that's one thing you'll hear everybody say, oh, my God, U of L, UofL's got a sweetheart deal in this. It's like, well, yeah, I guess they out-negotiated you. And I always look at it and think, yeah, so let's, those guys got slaughtered by a bunch of college board members or whatever, athletic directors. Yeah, let's put them up against a pro team. And, Mark Cuban won't completely bleed them dry. He won't absolutely take them to school.
Well, there's no doubt.
I look at it like, well, we're in it. I don't guess we can get out of it. I just hope it doesn't lose too much money. But the traffic flow. I mean, the one time I went, somebody was buying, so I went. I can be real honest. As soon as, once the game was looked in hand pretty good, U of L versus Marquette, I began planning my getaway route. And then I looked at my daughter and said, we're not going to wait. We're going to get the hell out of here.
Sure.
And we did. I mean, we just put 4th Street Live in the rearview mirror. We were gone. And it occurred to me, it's like, I'm not alone, obviously, because there's, they're packed up this ramp. There goes the special taxing district.
Well, that's exactly it. And the other thing, too, you mentioned U of L. U of L has such a sweetheart deal with this place. It's unbelievable. U of L is the main lease tenant in the Yum Center. They get to control all dates. They have veto power, if you will, over anybody wanting to get on a date that they want. And the lease payment that they make to the arena doesn't even cover the overhead cost of what it takes to operate the arena during a U of L game. They're getting the thing subsidized. They get it for less than the actual cost are. So, that's a major consideration going forward, and I don't think that's anything that's going to work out. It's something that's going to continue to happen. We're going to continue having taxpayers subsidize, stuff like this because, hey, that's what the Dems want, right? And which leads us to the next situation. I'm always critical of Democrats these days, and only because they continue – to try to run what I consider a socialist regime. But even Democrats are getting sick of this game that's being played in government. And Walmart is a good example of that. We just had a new report come out, and it was a study that was released by congressional Democrats, folks. This is what makes this incredible. The congressional Democrats released a study that said that so many of Walmart, that Walmart's wages are so low that so many of their workers rely on food stamps and other government aid programs just to fill their basic needs, Section 8 housing, food stamps, all the other stuff. You know, it is costing taxpayers as much as $900,000 at just one. Listen to me here. This is very important. $900,000 at just one Walmart Supercenter in Wisconsin. That is incredible, Ed. How many stores does Walmart have?
Lots. Yeah.
There you go. We're looking at this, and I'm sitting here thinking, if it's costing us $900,000 at one Walmart Supercenter, and every Walmart is going to this Supercenter mentality, most of them are already there, you know, you have to ask yourself, what is that total cost, across the whole country? And it's alarming. This study went ahead and assumed, it did make some assumptions, it assumed that most workers who qualify for the assistance actually take advantage of them. And the reality is that most do today take advantage of public assistance. If they're eligible for it, they're going to take it because they need all the help they can get. So when we look at this, we look at the Walmart wages, we look at how much these guys qualify for. You look at Medicaid data, all these other things that are going on. Food stamps, subsidized health care. You know, this one supercenter is costing the American taxpayer $900,000 a year. That is incredible to me. That is incredible to me. And what does that tell us about where we're going? I mean, Walmart continues to make excellent, excellent profits every year. They're making great profits. They can certainly afford to pick up more of their burden, but they don't. You know, they're also not a good corporate citizen. We just had a report last week where we talked about Walmart pleading guilty to dumping illegal stuff, you know, into rivers and streams, illegal chemicals and things like that. So, where do we draw the line on wages? I don't really push unions a lot these days, although I do believe in the union movement. I don't believe in union leadership, and I think that that's the problem. So where do we pick this stuff up? Walmart is able to go out there and get away with these cheap wages because we, the American people, are picking up the tab. So their profits, they're not making profits. We're giving them money. So where do you draw the line? What is responsible here? What is fair here? What's freedom here? You know what I mean?
Well, what's real? I think you can take subjective words like fair and stuff and throw them out because it's life's not fair. But I think the first thing you need to look at is that Walmart is a for-profit company. You know, they exist to make money.
Right.
And, you know, so I'm not going to put the blame on Walmart. I'll put it on the government. I think it's wrong. I think it's absolutely wrong. But I think, the government is hanging it out there. The government has, basically let them know. Look, these are the rules. You know, if you pay people this much, well, they'll get assistance. And they basically lay it out. So, you can't be a Walmart the aces and think they're not going to play them. So I blame it on the government. I mean, if I could get away with something like that, well, I probably wouldn't, but, it's small and it wouldn't amount to much money. look, if that's the way it is, if the government's going to give you a tax write-off if you buy a certain truck that you plan on buying anyway before a certain date, guess what? You're going to buy that truck. If the government is saying, hey, look, if you hire somebody, you pay them this much, whatever. They're eligible for food stamps. And then Walmart's thinking, hey, a little more profit here because the government subsidizing my employee's lifestyle. Sure. What for-profit company beholden to the stockholders, interested in maximizing return, what company wouldn't do it?
Well, I totally agree with you, and I think the government is responsible here. But the interesting thing for me at this point, though, is, the fact that Walmart, it's the Democrats who are raising the concern. It's them that are raising the concern. And when you look at this, Walmart has 200 million people, or I'm sorry, 200 million, 2 million workers, okay? Each store has roughly 3,000 workers for these supercenters, somewhere around 3,000 workers, give or take. So what you're talking about here, though, and this is the problem for me, is $600 million a year, and that's purely my estimate, nothing scientific about it based on the raw numbers I just gave you, is somewhere around $600 million a year that they're being subsidized. That's their profit. That's what they're getting for profit. So the government created this situation. The Democrats created this situation. And now that they see what it's costing, they realize they can't continue with this. You know, so their answer at this point, and this is what's really funny to me, because the report's timing is intentional. The report came out now because Representative Miller, along with Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa, are sponsoring legislation that's going to raise the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour. Now, supposedly, that's going to help a lot of these Walmart people and these other people who are working minimum wage. Unfortunately, all that's going to do is increase the cost at each one of these stores, and they're still going to continue to get this subsidization. So, you know, this is nothing more than a bait and switch, and that's where I was headed with this. This is nothing more than a bait and switch, and for the life of me, I still cannot understand why in the hell these Democrats have not got that yet and why they're not closing the loopholes that allow this.
Yeah. Because it's not a loophole. Because look, that's the first I've heard of it with Harkin. But the minute you said it, I knew if I was a Walmart exec, I knew how I can get around it.
Sure.
I am going to have to pay people more than, you know, higher minimum wages. But hey, you know what? Just to screw with these Democrats, and he's like, okay, we're going to pay them more. We're going to cut their hours.
Well, they're already doing that.
It's like, hey, guess what? They're still not going to make enough that they come off of food stamps, because they're going to make more, so they just have to work less to make the same amount of money and stay on the same food stamps, because they always look for, and the shame of it is sometimes the solutions are simple, but you got to be smart to figure out what that simple solution is, that pressure point. But most times the solutions are not simple, and you got to work at it, and they're complicated. You got a lot of cause and effect you got to work in, and
But realistically, Ed, I mean, that's already happening, because, you know, Walmart primarily is part-time jobs. And we're going to go to the phones in just 1 second. Hang with us, Mayo. I know you're there, my friend. But Walmart primarily is part-time jobs anyway. And then the second part of that is, you know, a lot of these employers that are employing full-time people are cutting their hours down to fall under the threshold for Obamacare, so that they're not stuck the cost, and they're shifting more of this burden onto the government and the taxpayer to pay for health care. So those numbers are going to skyrocket anyway due to a natural progression. $10.10 an hour isn't going to make a difference. I'm in total agreement with you. Let me bring Mayo on real quick. Mayo, you're off late in the game, my friend. What can we do for you?
Oh, yeah. Just listen, y'all. I mean, it's just amazing what, you know, people don't realize. They get wrapped up in the lamestream stuff, Bachelorette, Survivor, et cetera. I think that's how the media or the government keeps the masses subdued intellectually. On Walmart, get a chance or whatever. For some people to understand it, they should be able to get it online or, you know, watch it online or something. But it's called Walmart, the High Cost, the Low Prices. And, I mean, where I used to work, the video store managed the owner after watching it and made it a free rental to anybody that wanted to see it. I mean, that's how you know, much he felt about it. The EPA thing, they've been fighting Walmart for I can't remember how many years, and, yeah, they just had to pay, what was it, $25 million in fines?
Mm-hmm.
So,
it was a exact number. But, you know, here's the thing, too. We got a Massachusetts woman, Abrisha Eddick. She's earning $11.70 an hour working at Walmart. She's been there a long time. She's getting $11.70 an hour. But she still receives public assistance, food stamps, Section 8 housing, state health care, you know, all these other things at $11.70 an hour, folks. So what is $10.10 on minimum wage going to do for anybody, Mayo? It's not going to do anything, is it?
Not really. I mean, the difference is after, you know, Sam Walton passed away and the kids took over, that's when it got greedy. I don't know if you knew. I mean, they have like their own safety compound somewhere with helicopters and armed guards. If some major event ever happens in the United States, they can fly off to safety or something. And Sam Walton never liked, I guess you'd call it lobbyists, but he drove to places, talked to people. And I mean, the one true story I remember, there was a mill getting ready to go under. That made thread, yarn, cloth, et cetera. And he goes, nope, you're going to provide cloth and everything for every Walmart store in the United States. And, I mean, everything in Walmart used to be American-made. Now they've caused, what is it, Corningware had to open a factory in China because of their contract with Walmart, Rubbermaid.
Sure.
There's other manufacturers.
Most of their stuff that does not come from America, but, you know, 95% of it or better, comes from overseas because they had to open up factories overseas because Walmart kept cutting the prices they were paying for their goods. You know, now instead of saying, okay, Walmart, we're just not going to give you any goods, they went ahead and built these cheap factories over in China where the workers make about $1 a day, you know, and things like that so they could keep that business. And in their defense, you know, you talk about Corningware and these other people, in their defense, and Ed, you got to agree with this, I'm sure, you know, if they turned down the Walmart contract, somebody else was going to come along and do, and take the contract and build a factory anyway. That's the free market, right, Ed?
I got it.
Yeah, absolutely. And they probably... You know, it's not a matter of somebody would. They were probably bidding against somebody who basically let it be known that it's going to happen. Or maybe it already located a subcontractor in China. So, yeah, you're under the gun. It's not a we don't want to and we have to keep talking. It's like, no, it's take it or leave it when you're dealing with Walmart.
And it's not just Walmart. There's all kinds of places. Ford Motor Company does the same thing with their suppliers. They go to a supplier. They say, okay, we're going to pay X amount of dollars for this product. And the supplier says, I can't make it on this money. Well, then you're going to make it on this money. We're going to get somebody else. And they have a list of people waiting to get there. Every big business does that. So it's not bad business. But what I think the answer to this, though, is really truthfully, we need to notify Congress. We need to make sure we get a hold of every person we can in Congress, tell them, do not raise the minimum wage. That's ridiculous. It's not going to fix any of these problems. But, you know, we also need to start publicizing. There are a lot of Walmart employees who are doing walkouts at Walmart, refusing to work for those low wages. And this Abricia Edick I just mentioned a minute ago, the Massachusetts woman who makes $11.70 and gets all these things. You know, she at least is honest. She says, Walmart doesn't pay my salary. You, the taxpayer, pay my salary. So she's honest about it. And we've got Walmart workers who are saying, okay, you know, we've had enough. We don't want to work for this. If Walmart workers went on a nationwide walkout for one day, Walmart stores were shut down, that would send one powerful message to Walmart that they need to start paying wages to their employees that they earn or deserve instead of fleecing the American taxpayer. That's the way you get things done. That's the free market at work, the employer-employee relationship. But I don't buy this whole, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question because,
sure.
You know, it always got to take a swipe at the media. Where did you read this story?
Actually, I got this story, believe it or not, from the Huffington Post, one of the most liberal-leaning places out there.
But the HuffPo is not generally considered mainstream media. It's more of an internet. The problem we have is that the mainstream media, you know, once again, they're all corporate owned. You don't see these stories on the NBC Nightly News. You don't see these stories on Fox. You don't see these where most of the people are watching because Walmart has bought them, and once again, you've got a nutless news entertainment industry that's not going to pick these stories up and run with them.
Well, let me be fair here, though, Ed. Let me be fair here because I was really shocked. CNN actually covered this story as well. I used Huffington Post in this particular example because Huffington Post has everything in print. So it's easy reference, and a lot of times when you see it in print, when you go to CNN, you have to watch the videos. And I don't feel like uploading the sound clips and stuff. I would rather read the print, so it makes it easier. But CNN, liberal media, mainstream media, they actually did cover this. So, you know, we do have people covering it, but it's just
CNN,
now starting.
If CNN covered it, that means about 183 people saw it.
Like, yeah, but there's still some mainstream media. You're right, but there's still some mainstream media. Go ahead, man.
We got it. Well, I just started saying a quick question. You two are more politically savvy, you know, than I am, but I'm just kind of curious. I mean, whether it's Walmart or it's Ford or it's Intel, you have all these American companies that are importing, you know, build a factory overseas, and then their product is shipped back in the United States. Why is there not, or how come the government or us, you know, hasn't done an import tax on this company and said, well, you build a plant here in the United States and we'll take off the import tax? And that
right.
way the money stays in the United States or stays in the community. You know, I'm an average Joe here thinking about this. How come you know, the people in office haven't done this. And then all these things would be, you know, you'd have jobs, you'd have the tax money for roads, you'd have, et cetera. So, you know, if Intel built a plant in Silicon Valley or Corning, where it stayed in, where they used to be, Ohio, or was that Rubbermaid, instead of shipping it. But we don't. You know, every seat and every vehicle in Ford trucks is made, you know, in Hecho in Mexico, you know, is made in Mexico and shipped in.
Well, that, you know, the Kentucky truck plant here makes the majority of Ford trucks. But Ford does have plants in Mexico, and you're right, the trade tariffs are a large part of that, because what ultimately happens is, and China is probably one of the worst, the Koreas are another one, in the auto industry part of it anyway. You know, these guys add such a high tariff on importing a vehicle from the United States that it's cheaper to manufacture over there and sell it right there in-house. We do not use that same logic here, and it's the one thing that has always troubled me, is if they can add a $15,000 tariff onto a vehicle made in the United States so that they can sell it in China, why are we not doing the same thing with the Kia, you know, or other things like Toyotas and things like that, whatever's coming in from overseas? The Kia is so cheap because they're subsidized. They're subsidized by the Korean government. We don't put these exorbitant tariffs on them damn things, so they can bring them in here and get them for nothing because of the trade agreements. If we were to give the same trade tariff on the vehicles alone that we're forced to comply with across the world, you would find that America would be the only dominant automaker in the world because everybody overseas wants American-made cars. You know, that's just one example. So the trade tariffs are a big deal, you know, but we've also got to understand our government are the ones who are making these rules, and they're not allowing these rules to be fair for a reason. If you look at the Obama phone, for example, Carlos, crap, can't think of his last name now. Slim. He's a Mexican
Carlos,
guy.
Carlos,
you know. There you go. You know, he's making millions of dollars off of the Obama phones. He's got an exclusive contract with the government to supply all these free Obama phones, as they're called. You know, so he's getting all this money from America because this guy was a huge bundler for Barack Obama during his 2008 election and 2012, presumably. I haven't done the research on that. So, you know, Ed Mayo, I mean, this brings up everything, and we are well into overdrive, so I kind of want to make this quick. What's the answer here, Mayo? And, Ed, I'll bring it to you so you can get your final thoughts in at the same time. What's the answer, Mayo?
Well, number one, for the, you know, American people to wake up. Number two, instead of being incompetent, or I don't know what you want to call it, you know, are the people we elect being responsible and looking at it from the view of the people instead of from the view of the political / ruling class? I mean, we the people, like you said the other night, we have the power, but they keep us hypnotized or doped up, or I don't know what you want to call it, and people forget it. I mean, what was Abraham Lincoln? You know, we the people have the power to overthrow men who would pervert the Constitution, or not to pervert it, but to protect it, and that's what the people have forgotten, you know.
I can agree with that. Ed Martin, go ahead and your comments on that, and then your final thoughts, sir, so we can go ahead and wrap up.
I'll just make them all one and the same. I think the biggest problem we have is that we have career politicians. They get elected, and the media is just as much to blame. You know, we get these guys elected, and we keep electing them, and we keep electing them, and nothing changes, and the incumbents get elected at over 90%. And even when we do run elections, we don't run them on issues. We don't run them on solutions. It's popularity contests, demonizing. It's all PR. So, and I think the American voter has lost a lot of their ability to vote and think about substance and demand solutions from people. You know, and that could be, the only question I have at some point is that the, you know, what come first, the chicken or the egg? Did the politicians get so lame that the voters gave up on them for the most part, or did the voters get lashed and the politicians decide they don't have to deliver the goods anymore, they don't have to deliver decisions, they don't have to make tough decisions anymore? So, I don't know which came first, but I think that's what we've got. We've got a constituency that sits back and lets these politicians fiddle around with, you know, minimum wage and that, when the problems are much, much more complicated in many instances. they allow themselves to be pushed around by major corporations and foreign countries in a lot of cases, you know, with the national debt. You got to have the Chinese buying our debt, right? So I'm somewhat at a loss whether the voters got lackadaisical or the politicians got lackadaisical first, but that's what we've got. We don't demand solutions. We all know what we want. You know, we all got an idea of what we need, but nobody demands it. And even in light of the public not demanding it, the politicians ought to be offering some solutions rather than sit back with this god-awful, let's raise the minimum wage, at which point I hear, let's cut the hours and still maintain the benefits. It's like, geez, are we really that stupid? Are our politicians that stupid and we're dumb enough to keep electing these clowns? No.
Well, and I totally agree with you. You know, we've got so many things going on, and people just really need to pay attention. You know, we spent the last part of this show talking about Walmart, but Walmart's not alone. I mean, Walmart has one employee in California, Irvine, California, makes $10 an hour, and as soon as she got the raise and went to $10 an hour, they immediately cut her hours. Now she works less than 20 hours a week. They cut her hours to make up for the $10. They're only going to pay X amount of money per employee per week, period. So if they give you a raise, they're going to cut your hours, so you're not going to make any more money. You know, so this person is getting all this public assistance and is still having to borrow money from friends and family to buy diapers for her child. You know, these are disturbing stories. But unfortunately, you know, Ed talks about going to the government. The government has to make better decisions, get involved in things like that, and I totally agree with that sentiment. The problem is the government is only making decisions. These elected leaders only make decisions that are going to benefit them. They're not looking at the big picture, what's going to benefit America, what's going to benefit we, the people. They're looking at what's going to benefit them. If I do this and I sell out on this, then I'll keep my job. I'll get the perks to go along with that job. My family's going to do great. You know, I'm sorry about that guy, but that's my first priority is to make sure that I get all I can, and they're just going to have to get stuck with it. And they get reelected on that. This is just one more example of why we need term limits. We need people to go in that are going to sit there and say this isn't right. When we talk about the trade tariffs that Mayo brought up, you know, and the difference in that and why we're forced to build plants in other countries, that's an insult to me. If China and Japan are going to charge $10,000 or $15,000 per vehicle to bring a vehicle there from the United States as a trade tariff, then it's only right that we oblige and do the same thing. If we were to do that, make that part of our policy, those trade tariffs would disappear. The government continues talking that we have to go to this world economy. Everybody wants to talk about this world economy and this free trade agreements. There's no such thing as free trade. The United States tells Mexico in the NAFTA trade, for example, we tell people in NAFTA, we're going to go ahead and open up the trade window with you. Well, we're going to charge the United States $5,000 or $10,000 per product they bring in here. Well, okay, we'll do that. That's going to subsidize your market and keep your guys from coming across the border. But it hasn't worked. That's why. If you're going to have true free to trade, if you want to make this a world economy and you want to have true free trade, then you have got to go out there and you have got to say, okay, we'll import your stuff, you'll import our stuff, we won't charge any extra money either way, let the free market decide. But it'll never happen in America because of elected leadership. That's it for tonight, folks. Tomorrow night, Dale the Truth will be here at 7 o'clock as usual. Don't forget Thursday night, our TNT Thursday Night Truth Show, and Sunday night at 7 with our good friend Kim Moman at Liberty Unbridled. Ed Martin, thank you so much, man. I will see you next week, I'm sure.
All right, sir.
I appreciate it. All right, brother. Mayo, thanks for calling in, my friend. As always, it's a pleasure hearing from you. And that's it for tonight. We got to go. Have a great night, folks.